are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
Well, you all look good. You're all like gesond. You all look happy. Are you ready for the year? I said, are you gladiators? Are you ready? That's going to be a great year. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 14. And I want to read from verse 22. The Bible says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening was come, he was alone there. But the boat was in the middle of the sea, notice, in the will of God, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, on the fourth watch in the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." Somebody say, "Come." Come. And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when he had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came to him, worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." My message this morning to launch you into this new season of your life is come and walk on the water with me. I believe it's a season where God is calling us as his church to go to a whole nother level with him in our faith. The challenges facing humanity, our nation, our world. We don't need a church that is asleep. We need a church that is alive. We don't need a sitting, soaking, seeking another blessing church. We need a get up and go make a difference church in our world. Someone say amen. I believe God is calling you into the great unknown. I believe that God is calling us as believers, your personal life, but as CRC, to new horizons, to distant shores, to attempt great things for God. For the Bible says in Daniel 11 verse 32, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." I don't know about you, but I'm ready for great exploits. Hallelujah. Come on, CRC, Pretoria, Bloemfontein, Johannesburg, East Rand. Come on. I believe God is calling us to pursue everything he has in mind for us. Not just to lose weight and make some money, but to make a difference in our world. To make our world a better place. Not to talk about the storms in our world, the storm of racism wanting to revive in South Africa, but talking about the peace of God in our nation. Not talking about the storms of violence, but talking about the storms of prosperity and peace within our boundaries. We are the church and we are yet to make a difference in our world. Not to buy an airplane ticket and fly away when a storm comes, but to settle in the will of God and to make a difference in our generation. Peter walked on the water in the midst of a mighty storm. Family, we have one life to live and we have to make this one life count. I don't think you're going to get to heaven one day and God said, "Why did you believe me for so much? Why did you build another church? Couldn't you just take it easy for one season of your life?" On the contrary, I think when we get to heaven, God's going to say, "Why did you not believe me for more? Why did you not trust me for greater things? Why did you not attempt greater things for me in Jesus' name?" Because, my dear friend, you will not find Jesus in the safety of the boat. You will find him in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the storm. That's why David said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God, you are there." Say amen in the name of Jesus. Tommy Bonnet, one of my heroes in the faith. When I asked him, "Pastor, what is one of the greatest regrets that you have?" He said, "I never risked enough for God." He said, "Every time I took a leap of faith, God was there. I should have risked more. And he's one of the greatest leaders in America. He built two great churches in the United States of America. And at 80 years of age, he said, I should have risked more for God. I hope that your attitude for 2016 is not reflecting on yesterday and camping at the mistakes of yesterday. But I hope that something is alive in your heart, that you believe that God is for you, that God is on your side, that anything can happen, that all things are possible, that you can do what other people attempted to do, and you cannot fail because God is your source. Say amen today. So in 2016, the next 5 years, Dr. Miles Monroe, when I sat down with him in November before he passed away, he said, CRC, a word from the Lord, you will double in the next 5 years. I flew down to East London, met with Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. He prayed over me. He said, hey, God's speaking to me. You need to double as a movement in the next 5 years. They didn't know about the prophetic word one to the other, but I received the word of God. So the next 5 years is going to be a dangerous 5 years. Come on. It's going to be an adventurous 5 years. We are going to double, 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 double. Oh, come on, somebody shout double and no trouble. Hallelujah. I believe the prophetic word when it comes. So the call to follow Jesus is not a call to sit and soak, to be cemented in your setbacks of yesterday. It's not a place where you nurse, curse, and rehearse your yesterday moment, your low moments. It is a call to get up and go. It is a call to leave the comfort of the boat, like Abraham, leave your father's house and follow me into a new horizon. It is a call to follow the known God into the unknown territory of your life. And I dare to say that God's got some great things for each one of us. I dare to say that God promised to lead us from glory to glory. No matter how bad yesterday was, tomorrow will be better. No matter how good yesterday was, tomorrow will be greater. Can you believe it? In the name of Jesus. So come on and walk on the water with me. Come on and walk on the water with me. Come on and walk on the water with me. Come on. Peter, come on. Thomas, come on. I mean, Jesus said one word and all the disciples could have gotten out of that boat, but they did not. Most of them sat in the boat like many Christians. We're not going to sit this year, Rulani, Mbula. We're going to climb out of the boat. Amen. We're going to walk where all we have is our faith in God, where all we hold on to is our faith in God, because this is a faith journey in Jesus' name. We're not going to become like the newspaper reporters from overseas who prophesied doom and gloom over South Africa. No, we are going to say this is a blessed land. This is a land of peace. What God meant for prosperity, the devil cannot turn around. Amen. No weapon formed against us can prosper in Jesus' name. Our children's children's children will have a future in South Africa. We're not going to roll over and play dead in this nation. We're going to walk on the water with God. We're going to go on a campaign, CRC. We're going to preach the gospel as never. We're going to reach more people for Jesus than ever. We're going to win more souls for Jesus than ever. We're going to win the most races that we've ever reached for Jesus Christ. We're going to see God unite the nations in our country, South Africa, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because we have the answer, Jesus Christ. We are the hope of the world. So we're not going to be like every other Christian and look the other side. We're going to get involved. And not only are we going to believe God for great exploits in our personal lives, we're going to believe God to do great exploits in South Africa. We're going to see God-filled stadiums. We are going to see persecutors come to Christ. The chief mockers, the chief scoffers, the atheists are going to come to Christ. The persecutors of the church are going to come to Christ like the Apostle Paul. Oh, come on. I need somebody to say amen and believe with me. We are not just going to play church. All it's about is me, myself, and I, my three children, me and my wife. And as long as we are blessed, we're okay. And if it's not okay, I've got a ticket to go to Australia. No. We are here. Black, white, pink, yellow, colored, Asian. We are here. South Africa is our land. Africa is our country. This is our nation. This was meant to be God's blessed country. And this will be the blessed nation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will stay united, black and white and colored and yellow and oh, come on, give the Lord a praise offering. We're not going to allow the old racist spirit to come back in our hearts. I know it's got nothing to do with my message this morning, but something that we need to hear as Christians again and again. And not listen to our family, listen to our friends, listen to God. Because God is colorblind. I said God is colorblind. Stop fighting for the black man. Stop fighting for the white man. Stop fighting for the Christ man. Stop fighting for the Christ man. Stop fighting for the Christ man. Stand for the Christ man, because Jesus stood on the cross 2,000 years ago for all of humanity. And in the mind of God, there is not a black church and a white church. There is the church. I'm saying this because if you don't understand this, you are not going to be fulfilling the future that God has for you. If you are filled with hatred, filled with violence, filled with bitterness, and you call on the name of God, you will not progress into what God has for you. You cannot call on the name of Jesus and be a racist. Time to make a decision. Because to know God is to know people. To love God is to love people. All people. I said all people. I had the privilege to pray with our previous president, F.W. de Klerk. Maneki organized it on golf on a holiday. Had the privilege. Spoke to him for 5-6 hours. People realize that our nation are facing challenges. If everybody becomes cynical and skeptical, we have no future. If everybody goes back to pre-94, we have no future. So if you call on the name of Jesus, then be a true Christian behind closed doors as well. Because when somebody dies, there's no black or white. When somebody gets shot, there's no yellow blood or black blood or white blood. There's only blood. Let's not allow the devil to divide. Pretoria. Let's not allow the devil to divide. Let's stand for the truth. So how are you going to walk on the water with Jesus in 2016 and beyond? Number one, you need to know God better. Make knowing God your top priority. Huge difference between knowing God and knowing about God. Paul the Apostle said, "There's one thing I do, I forget what is behind, I look forward. I look to Christ." He said, my number one priority is to know Him better. You know, I grew up religiously, had no relationship with God. I had a religion. I could quote the Bible, I had no relationship with God. My question to you this morning at the beginning of this year, do you have a relationship with God, a living, abiding relationship with God? Because that's what this is all about. The closer you get to God, the closer you will get to your destination. The more you pursue God, the closer you will get to your promised land. You can't take God out of the equation. John 17 verse 3, Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Our calling is to the Father. Let's not forget it. Our calling is to the Father. And when you get closer to God, you will discover the will of God for your life. Jeremiah chapter 9, the Bible says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glory in this, that he understands and knows me." I mean, Peter, the key to the miracle was he discerned Jesus. Because remember, initially they were afraid. So he said, "Lord, if it is you, bid me come." We need to be careful whose voices we are following. We don't want to follow the voice of racism. Seeing I'm picking on it, and it's such a pressing issue in our nation today. We don't want to follow the voice of anger, the voice of bitterness, the voice of unforgiveness, the voice of a friend. We want to know God and follow the voice of God. We don't want to follow riches. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added unto you." So your number one top priority, Jeremiah says, is to know God. Not to glory in your riches, your wisdom, your might, your power, your ability, but in the fact that you know and you understand God. Say amen. The Apostle Paul says, "That I may know Him." Daniel 11:32, the Bible says, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits." To know God gives you the unfair advantage. To know God is to know God's thoughts toward you. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil. To know God is to know that the greater one lives on the inside of you. To know God is to know the power of God available to you. That God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. Even in the midst of a blazing storm, God will be there and God is able. Ephesians 3:20. Able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. According to the power that works within you. So make knowing God your top priority. Amen. Spend time with God. Get back to the prayer room. Get back to the closet. Get back to just loving on God, being a worshiper of God. Make knowing God your top priority. This amazing apostle who had the greatest revelation, who was caught up into the third heaven, taught by Jesus himself, said, what things were gained to me, I count as rubbish, that I may gain him, that I may know him. I want to know you more, Father. Because when I know you, I know the love you have for me. I become secure. I know the future that you have is in the palm of your hand because I know you. You are a good God. You are a loving God. You are a Father who understands. You walk me through my trouble. You come to me in the midst of the storm. You comfort me in time of affliction. God, you are always there. Number one, know God. Number two, if you are going to walk on the water with Jesus in 2016, you have to know God's will. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus said, come. That was the will of God for Peter. Peter stepped out on the word of God. He walked over the storms on the word of God. That was until he took his eyes off Jesus. He lost focus of what God's plan was for his life. Family, God's will is real. God's will is powerful. God created you with a divine purpose, with a divine destiny in mind. And to discover God's will, you need two things. You need the Logos and you need the Rhema. You need the Word of God, which is the basis of your relationship with God. And you need the Rhema, walking with the Holy Spirit. God's revealed will for your life, for this time of your life, for this season of your life, for a crisis moment. What is God's will in that situation? Remember the disciples who were sitting in the middle of the ocean or in the middle of the sea. The boat was tossed to and fro. They were unsure. They were afraid. And yet comes Jesus and they lose their discernment. They say, it is a ghost. Jesus immediately said, be not afraid. Be of good cheer. It is I. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to do something. What is your will for me, Jesus? He says, come. I mean, when you walk with God, when you know God and you walk on the word of God, you cannot fail. Failure becomes impossible. You may fall, but you don't stay down because Jesus is there to lift you up again. Always drawing closer to God. So what is God's will for you, for your life, for the season of your life? What is God's will concerning that relationship? You want the blessing of God, the favor of God, you need to discern God's will. And not listen to all the other voices. I see many people flounder and fall in life because they listen to other voices. Or they have too much pizza. And they say, God said this, and if it doesn't work out, they blame God. No! Where God guides, He provides. Where God leads, He feeds. God will never fail you. You can build a church on one word, come. You can go to a nation on one word, come. You can start a business on one word, come. But you better know it is the will of God. Because God's will is blessed. God's will sustain you in the storms of life. God's word will keep you in the trial, in the tribulation. God's word is your protection. So Peter was walking on the word. Not on if he can, I can. No. He discerned the will of God. Amen. So number one, know God more. Number two, know God's will. Before you even start the endeavor, know that it's God's will for you. Because if it's God's will for you, it is a sure thing. Say amen this morning. Come on there in Bloemfontein. Number three, and this is an important one. Know your level of faith. I'm going to say it again. Know your level of faith. In the charismatic church, Many people think if he does it, I can do it. I've seen many people flounder and falter in life because they go beyond their faith. Now, you may have the potential to bench press 100 kilograms. But maybe if you go to gym, you're going to struggle with 30 kilograms because you've not been working your level of faith. So having the potential, having the calling, and the faith are totally different things. So Peter stepped out according to his faith. The other 11 sat in the boat according to their faith. You need to develop your faith. Know God. Know what God's will is for your life, and then go to work. I come out of the school where we were taught, before you believe God for a suit, believe God for a pair of socks. Amen? Before you start a business, a company, and go for a loan of 10 million, start something small. Develop your faith. Because faith as a muscle grows. So be careful not to venture beyond your level of faith. Unless you get a word from God, a supernatural deposit of the special gift of faith, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I've had this happen to me several times in my life where God gave me a supernatural gift, where my own faith was not enough. It wasn't developed at the place to believe God for that, but when I spent time with God, the rhema came and the gift of faith came. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This is a faith journey. It's never going to stop. We please God by faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith. We move mountains by faith. We overcome by faith. Everything we do is by faith. So yeah, Peter goes on the word of Jesus, and he begins to sink. He goes lower and lower. He started. And Jesus, after he stretched his hand out and lifted Peter up to the level that he called him to be, he said, why did you doubt? Oh, ye of little faith. What did he say? The Bible says if you have only got a little bit of faith as a mustard seed, you will not only say to this mountain be removed. So you can do great things for God with a little bit of faith. That literally means short duration of faith. So he started building the zone, started building the business with great enthusiasm and ran out of steam somewhere. His faith failed him. Are you listening to me this morning? Know your level of faith. Not if he can, I can. And the good thing is, my dear friend, you can develop your faith. In Romans 10 verse 70, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You develop your faith through the word of God. More time in the word of God, more time in the presence of Jesus. Build your faith. If you are believing God to do great exploits, you have to build great faith. Come on, say amen and give the Lord a praise. Come on there in Bloemfontein. Hallelujah. Build your faith. People are lazy when it comes to developing their faith. Nothing wrong with their calling. Nothing wrong with their purpose or their assignment. But they got weak little muscles, faith muscles. So they don't succeed because they don't take the time to develop great faith. Faith, everybody receives the gift of faith or a measure of faith at salvation, but you have to increase that faith. That's your duty, your responsibility. Come on. So in 2016, develop great faith. Develop faith to the level where God has called you to be. Come on, in the name of Jesus, be diligent in the word of God. Be diligent in your prayer life. Exercise your faith muscle, so that you can do the great things for God. Every time Jesus spoke to people, he said, according to your faith. I mean, pastors phone me all the time now with goals for the new year, and they say, Pastor, we want to submit the goal to you. We want to grow our church to 10,000, or we want to build a building. I always tell them, what do you believe? I say, no, what do you really believe? Everybody knows when they ask me, should they? I say, what do you believe? What do you really believe? Not what do you believe, what do you believe? God, Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, when you have faith, you know it. There's a huge difference between faith, foolishness, presumption. Faith has substance. Faith has ingredients. Faith is a sure thing. Foolishness, presumption is exactly, it's foolish. So sometimes people attempt things before the time because they've not developed faith, and then presumption. When you have faith, you know that that you know. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving at this time. They're in Bloemfontein. Johannesburg, you're in Pretoria, in East Rand. God's got great things in store for you. But what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses himself? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You're sitting here today, you say, Pastor, I don't have peace with Jesus. If I die today, I don't even think I'll go to heaven. I go to church, I read my Bible, but if I had to be honest, I have no relationship with God. And as you spoke today, I realized that I need to get right with God. I've been looking for peace. I've been looking for answers. And I realized today that all those answers are in one place. I need to get right with God. I need to get back to Jesus. You know, God came to love you and to save you and to forgive you. He doesn't judge you. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't remind you of your mistakes. He has a huge eraser, a rubber to erase your past. To forgive you, to give you a brand new start. So no matter who you are, no matter how low you have sunk, what you have done, God is a God of a new beginning. And why don't you, at the beginning of this year, give yourself to Jesus? Or if you've wandered away from Jesus, come back to Jesus today. Come as you are. And let God take control of your life. Pray this prayer right now, all of you at the altar. Everybody pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me just as I am. I believe with all my heart that you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Today I surrender my life to you. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. Wash me in your blood. Forgive my sin. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you that you are my God and that you accept me just as I am. I place my life in your hands. My future I place in your hands. Thank you for a brand new day, a new life. Here I am, Jesus. Take all of me. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.